this morning. We want to start off by opening in a word of prayer, and then we'll maybe sing a couple of hymns before we turn to God's word. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity once again to come and gather in the name of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize, Lord, that you have given that name preeminence above every other name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your name is high and lifted up. And Lord, we say this morning, even with you, you said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, help us this morning, Lord, to uplift the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, to promote your goodness, Lord, to testify of your loving kindness and your mercy and your righteousness. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to bless you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for Calvary. We thank you for your precious blood. We thank you, Lord, that you rose again triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. We thank you this morning there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and you ever live to make intercession for the saints. Lord, we know, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're in our midst this morning, for your word says that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in our midst. Lord, we invite the Holy Ghost to have free course in our midst this morning. Move from heart to heart and seat to seat. Minister unto your people. Lord, you minister, Lord Jesus Christ, because, Lord, you know the needs of the heart. Lord, you know the secrets of the heart. Lord, you know the desires of the people. You know the needs of the people. Lord God, now I pray that you'll minister. And Lord, we know that you're a God who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're not deceived in worshipping gods of stone or gods of clay or the works of men's hands. But Lord, we thank you that you are the only creator, the only God, and there is none beside thee. Lord, we worship you this morning and praise you and give you thanks, and we ask your blessing upon this service. Bless all that's come, Lord, and all that's coming for hey, that you'll bless those that'll maybe tune in at a later date. We pray, Lord, you'll speak to your people this morning, and even at the preaching of thy word, I pray that you'll break chains and grant deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, and set the captives free, for we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Name I ask it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing 644 in the Redemption Hymn Book. 644. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Since Jesus came into my heart. in your books. We'll try and sing it. I have a song that Jesus gave me when I came from heaven above. Praise the Lord. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. It is a melody of love. Praise the Lord. One this morning, the trusses are all doing well on a lovely morning for the service. We're going to turn our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to be preaching on Isaac again. Really have enjoyed just a wee while ago was just reading about the patriarchs, and some tremendous encouragement when we read about Isaac. If you just take your time and look for the nuggets, there's some powerful nuggets to be found. You know, whenever you find the wee nuggets, you know, they do your heart good. The title of this morning's message is Going Forward, or Go Forward, whatever one you like to take, Go Forward. And I trust this morning's message will be an encouragement and uplifting to you. Just before we turn to God's Word, before we read it, just let us pray again. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed this morning for your precious Word. Lord, hide me behind thy altar, I pray, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the Holy Ghost will have his way. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch these lips of clay from the hot coals from off thy altar, I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Let my own imaginations and my own thoughts be cast down, and only let be said what you would have to be said in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, guard my tongue, Lord, I pray. I pray, Lord God, the Holy Ghost will do the talking in Jesus Christ's name. And I pray indeed, Lord, that as your word is preached, Lord, that it will grant deliverance to your people. If anyone's needing deliverance, I pray this morning they'll be set free. If anyone's needing encouraging this morning, they'll be encouraged. If anyone's needing lifting this morning, they'll be lifted up. Lord, for this is what your word can do. Lord Jesus Christ, your word says you sent your word and you healed them. If there's any sick or afflicted this morning, I pray you'll heal them. I ask you, Lord, especially this morning for my own mother. Pray, Lord God, you'll touch her condition, Lord, whatever it is. Lord, perhaps doctors aren't sure yet what it is, but Lord, you know. For you're the one who made the human body. Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know we're going out and we're coming in. Lord, even before we were in our mother's womb, we were wonderfully and mysteriously made. And Lord, you know everything about us. I pray, Lord, you'll touch her and heal her. and grant her full deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. I'm going to read down. There's a few verses here I'd like to read this morning. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee, and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac, and said, Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in the land, and that land, and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. You know, you've heard the saying, history repeating itself, or history repeats itself. And here when we read of Isaac, we see history repeating itself. We read here in the opening verse that there was a famine in the land. Now this was a famine after the days of Abraham, because also in the days of Abraham there was a great famine. And the famine in the days of Abraham led Abraham to go to Egypt. And we know that while Abraham went to Egypt, he made a big mistake. I was thinking about this earlier on, and I was thinking to myself, perhaps he made a grave mistake, but no, it wasn't a grave mistake. Because Abraham served a God who has control over and power over the grave. Abraham served a God who can bring you out of the grave. You know, sometimes we make mistakes and we think they're grave mistakes. They're to our own hurt, and they're to our own shame. They're to our own destruction. But the Lord can redeem your life from destruction. Many people make mistakes, and they are grave mistakes that bring them down to the grave. And after the grave, there's no hope for them. But we serve a God, when we make a mistake, He has made provision for us that the grave wouldn't consume us. But Abraham no doubt made a mistake, and a shameful mistake at that. He led on to the Egyptians that Sarah was his sister. Now some people say it was kind of half true, but let me just put that the right way. It was a lie. Because you see, there's no such thing as a half truth. If it's a half truth, it's a lie. Jesus didn't say, I'm a bit of the truth, or I'm some of the truth. He said, I am the truth. There is one truth. When Pilate said, What is truth? Truth stood before him. You see, ultimately, Sarah was Abraham's wife. Then she was his half-sister. You see, what he done was, the Bible doesn't actually say in the commandments, we say, Thou shalt not lie. But let me say what the Bible says. It says, Thou shalt not bear false witness. And Abraham bore false witness against his wife, because he did not witness to the Egyptians that Sarah was his wife. And you see, the important thing was, if it was his sister, then they could put their eye on her. He feared, for because Sarah was beautiful too, that the men of the city might kill Abraham so that Sarah would be free to marry. And I'm sure there was a lot of pressure on Abraham, and I'm not making light of the pressure that would be. He feared for his life. But I don't know how many men today wouldn't rather lose their life than see their wife been taken with another man. Can you imagine that Abraham was in charge of his sister? Maybe Sarah was still with Abraham in his tent and stuff like that. But can you imagine the men of their eye casting their eye upon Rebekah or upon Sarah And then to come and haggle like with Abraham or Isaac, like you would with a cow, over his wife, thinking it was a sister, I'll give you so much cows for this woman, or I'll give you so much corn for this woman. Haggling with your wife like a piece of livestock. That's what was going to happen, because you see, she was beautiful to look upon, and he feared for his own life instead of standing by his wife and saying, this woman is my wife. You know, the fear was, the biggest concern was, in Abraham's time, even when Abraham done this a second time, he went to Abimelech also, the king of the Philistines, and the fear was that one of the men might have taken the woman to be their wife. Can you imagine that Abraham was willing to let another man take his wife? Can you imagine that this great patriarch Isaac, whom we've seen the last couple of times when we preached, he was the preferred son, how that he even got to a place where he was prepared that another man perhaps could take his wife, to put his wife in that position, in jeopardy. There would be a chance of that happening in place. That's what Abimelech said. He said, what have you done? You not know that one of these men might lately have lain with thy wife? In other words, it wouldn't be a big thing for some of these men to go and lie with your wife, and you put her in that position. What have you done unto us? And you see, even at that time, God was still taking care of Abraham. God was taking care of Sarah. And God told Abimelech, he says, don't touch that woman, for if you touch that woman, you're a dead man. And God had to intervene. You see, it was a mistake. Abraham went down to Egypt. He went out of a place, perhaps where God had called him out of. And you see, the reason for that being is, let me say that it's easy for us. We're surrounded by blue skies and green fields with plenty of water and plenty of food. It's easy to go the way when the smooth going. But you know, in a famine, these people lived in a desert. And let me just say a little bit what a famine's like. Can you imagine in the times of Elijah, when he called for no rain for the space of 3.5 years, there was no rain. Now you can imagine what it's like whenever we don't get rain for 3.5 weeks here. And this is one of the wettest places in Europe, perhaps. But you know, imagine 3.5 months with no rain. The ground starts to brown. There's water shortages. There's lots of trouble comes about. There's no growing. There's no, animals can't be fed. Animals can't be kept alive. Then people can't be fed. You see, there was a famine during the time of the kings when they couldn't get in, and the next thing, people start cannibalizing, doing terrible things in the times of famine. You lost your possessions. You lost everything in a time of famine. There's great fear comes upon people in times of famine when everything isn't going easy. And you see, here's Egypt. And Egypt is a place of great fertility. It's situated near the Nile River. They're smart in technology. They're sophisticated in the ways of man. They have plenty of grain. They have plenty of water, plenty of irrigation. You see, Egypt seems a grand place. And you see, even whenever Israel came out of Egypt, they soon forgot their taskmasters. And when the going got tough, they soon longed to go back to Egypt. And you see, here was Abraham when the going got tough. He wanted to go down to Egypt, and when he went down to Egypt, he made a big mistake. And I'm sure if you think it's not a big mistake, I want to ask this morning, would you allow your wife to let on she's your sister? Even if she was a half-sister, but would you deny her being your wife so that other men could look upon her and perhaps even take her? You wouldn't want to do that. You see, Abraham was out of God's will when he went down to Egypt, and he made a mistake. And it's easy to make mistakes when you're out of God's will. But I want to say, even when you're in God's will, you can still make a mistake. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here was Isaac, was warned not to go down to Egypt. Now, it's funny because the Bible doesn't say that Isaac said he was going down, but God warned him, don't go down. So we can assume that Isaac was thinking of doing what everybody else was doing. People were flocking to Egypt. People were in fear. People were in distress. People were in poverty. And they were going to somewhere that could succor them, and somewhere that could sustain them. But God had a promised son. God had a man here that he was building a nation with. And God said, this is the country I'm going to give you. And the people were making an exodus from the country round about. And God said, Isaac, I want you to stay here. These people's all leaving, but this is going to be your possession. And God warned him not to go down to Egypt. You see, Egypt was a place where people felt they had some security. But God did not want Isaac's security to be in Egypt. God wanted his security to be from God. God wanted Isaac's trust to be in God, not in the trust of Egypt. You see, whenever things got tough, Egypt perhaps had fees people would have to pay. And everybody flocked down to Egypt. Everybody else was going. And it's an easy thing to go with the flow. You know, people are like sheep, aren't they? Jesus talks about us being like sheep. Whenever one goes, they all go. Samuel told the story of the little boy in the mosque class. If there was 50 sheep in the field and one got out, how many sheep would there be left? The teacher asked the young boy, and the young boy said, none. And the teacher says, well, how do you make that out? There was only one out. But he knew that whenever one sheep would go, the rest would follow. And that's what it's like with people. When somebody does something, and we see it all around, we're surrounded by media, there's celebrities, people of prominence, politicians, sports people, they all say, let's go down to Egypt. I'm going down to Egypt. And they try to encourage to get as many people to go down to Egypt as they can. But you see, people are putting their trust in the wrong thing. When you flock to Egypt, you're putting your trust in the wrong thing. God wants you to trust in Him. God wants your confidence and your source and your suffering to come from Him. God doesn't want you to go with the flow. You see, people choose the path of least resistance. If everybody else is going, I'll go. It's going to be an easier life. Sure, it could be an easier life. They can promise you all these things. They can make it sound good. But you know, there's a way that seems right unto a man. But the end of them ways are the ways of death. I'm sure it seems silly for all those people that were flocking to Egypt when Isaac was left behind. And they were thinking to themselves, how's he going to sustain himself out here? He's going to lose everything. A rich man like God, he'll soon come to nothing. It seemed like Isaac was making a foolish mistake to everybody else. But Isaac had instructions from the Lord. To don't go down to Egypt. Don't go. I'm your protection. I'm the one. Who was it said that the Lord would provide? Whenever Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son, the Lord said, I will provide myself a sacrifice. The Lord, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. And the Lord was going to provide for Isaac. And the Lord will provide for you. You don't have to go down to Egypt to feel safe. You don't have to obey Egypt's laws to feel some sense of security. It's not Egypt that's keeping you this morning. It's the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh. He's providing your need. He's looking after you. Praise God. So we see that Abraham, or Isaac, was perhaps thinking of going down to Egypt along with everybody else. But he had instructions from the Lord. Go not down to Egypt. And you see, a dead fish can go with the flow. If you take a dead fish and drop him into the river, he'll just go with the flow. He'll go with all them other fish. But you know, it takes a living one to swim against it. I think about the salmon this morning, how that the salmon goes against the flow. All them other fish can't go where he's going. You see, he's got something in him. That salmon's especially made fish. Because when there comes a time in the salmon's life, the salmon comes into this world and he makes his way to Egypt. Makes his way up into the ocean. The multicultural society down in Egypt where all the different species and varieties live. And the salmon spends a time there in Egypt. But there comes a time when something happens within the salmon. There's a change. It's called osmoregulation. There's a change that happens. And whenever you're in the world, there's something happens to you. If you are a predestinated seed of God, there comes a time of quickening. There comes a time of renewing, a time of life. There comes a time of germination. And whenever that seed that perhaps has laid dormant for a long time, when you were down in Egypt, whenever that seed germinates by the light of the God of the light, from the rays of the Son of God, from the light that lights the world, when that light strikes that seed, it begins to germinate and something begins to happen and it turns your head. It turns your head away from Egypt and it turns you towards God. And that salmon turns around, praise God, just like a man when he walks this earth. And he goes towards the place where he come from. He returns to his origins. And you see, you might have thought you had your origins here on earth, but God planted a seed in you that has no human intervention. It's a new creature. It's a brand new creation. It's born of God, not born of man or woman. This flesh was born of a man or a woman. But there was something within you, if you're born again, was there that God had all the time. A seed that God brought forth to this time. And that seed would grow in a body of corruption. And that body of corruption would no longer have the authority and do the things it wanted to do. But this seed would eventually take the authority and dominion over the flesh and go towards the calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as that salmon comes up to the mountain and it stops at that stream where it came out of, you see, all the other ones are probably bypassing it. But there's something happens that gets sanctified there. It gets ready for a new change. You see, it can't, a fish can't go from salt water into fresh water. But God placed something within the salmon that he can get sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word. And when he does that, he can press on and go forward. Just like Isaac went forward here. That salmon presses on the upward way. New heights gaining every day. He presses through the streams. He presses up over the waterfalls. He presses past the birds. He presses past the woods and all the dangers. And there'd be many dangers along the way. But he presses on and he's doing something that other fish can't do. He's come out of the world of sin. He's come out of Egypt. And he's pressing on the upward way. The narrow way. The straight and narrow way. The salmon's a mighty fish, you know. And it's a beautiful type of the believer. And he goes back to the place of his origin through many obstructions and obstacles. There's nothing can stop him. The famine can't stop him. He's going to press on. And that's what it's like for us, the believer. When we get back to our origins, you see, suffering's called. But you see, we've got to have something to go against, going against the flow. You know, some people just want to go with the flow. They don't want any upheaval in their life. They don't want any change in their life. But I'm glad that he's changing me from glory to glory. He's changing me, my precious Jesus. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I used to live in Egypt. I used to get my pleasures in Egypt. But now I've turned around, praise God, and I've turned and went forward up to the mountain of God from whence I came. Because I have heard the calling of God and responded. Praise God, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Sometimes it's slow going, sure it is. But there's joy knowing that someday perfect I will be. You see, this body is going to get a body change. And God is going to give us a body like unto his glorious body, the Lord Jesus Christ, a glorified body. You see, this body is an enmity with a soul. And our spirit has been renewed. It's an enmity. But God's going to give us a body that's in harmony with this spirit. This born again spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. You see, Isaac was such a man that he went against the flow. When people were flocking to Egypt, he didn't go. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. For the voice said to Isaac, he says, sojourn in this land that I will show thee. And it says here that Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He dwelt amongst the Philistines. They were a nomadic people, I suppose, as well. They were in the desert as well. And some of these people had decided to stay, and Isaac was going to stay here. So you see, Isaac was in God's will when he stayed in Gerar. But it's not to say that you're not going to face temptations. It's not to say that you're not going to face setbacks. You know, I think about this setback here that Isaac had. And you know, let me just explain a bit, because we can read over this sometimes and you don't think it's much of a setback. But let's say what it says. And the man of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the man should kill me. For Rebecca was fair to look upon. She was a beautiful woman. And he took fear, and he pretended that it was his sister. You see, history repeated itself. Now I'm sure that when Isaac heard the story of Abraham doing this to his mother, I'm sure he felt ashamed. I want you to think this morning, if your father done this to your mother, what sort of a thing would you think of him? Well, you'd have to just maybe forgive him for doing it, but I'm sure you wouldn't want to do it to your own wife. I'm sure you'd want to be better than that. I'm sure that would bring you hurt and distress. You know, little children are so fond of their mothers. And I know in my house, if something goes wrong, or, you know, mummy's the first one the children run to. Daddy's is all right, and it's good to have a daddy, but, you know, mummy's is where the children run to, isn't it? And I'm sure that Isaac felt bad for his mother. That Abraham would put her in this position not once but twice. I'm sure he thought to himself he would never do that. I'm sure he thought to himself, if I ever get a wife, I'll treat her better than that. You see, the Bible says, take heed, him that standeth, take heed lest he fall. There's no saying what you would do. If God takes his hand of you, there's no telling the depths you would stoop to and the lows that you would go to. Because, man, remember the sermon Brown preached about water. Man is like water. And if you pour out water, he gravitates to the lowest point. And Matney said this morning that a man without the hand of God gravitates to the very lowest point because he's a fallen creature. Takes God's grace in your life. Never say, perhaps you would never do that. I know there's things we would like to think we would never do, but it's only by God's grace. We ought to say, there but for the grace of God, go you and I. There but for the grace of God, go you and I. There's no telling what a man would do. There's no telling what you would do. There's no telling what I would do. And Isaac, I'm sure, when this come to a head, I'm sure he felt bad. I'm sure he felt ashamed of himself. I'm sure he felt that it was all over. I'm sure he felt he'd lost his testimony. I'm sure Isaac was very grieved in his heart. I'm sure he was ashamed to face Rebecca, his wife, that he had put her in this position. For it says here, and it came to pass when they'd been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out on a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebecca, his wife. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that you had to do things undercover? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that if you were in a place and you had to pretend all the time that that woman wasn't your sweetheart, that woman was just your sister, that you couldn't embrace and show the affection, you couldn't hug, or you couldn't behave like a husband and wife? But here he was caught out. He was caught out because, you see, Isaac never lost them affections for his wife. He loved his wife, but he made a mistake. And you know, I think about this here mistake, I'll come to it in a moment, but you know, Isaac was sporting with his wife. And when the man seen the way he was sporting with her, he says, them's a brave close brother and sister. He says, brother and sisters, don't get on like that. He says, surely this is your wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. It was a rebuke. And how saidst thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? Do you realise what you've done? I'm sure Isaac felt ashamed, being reproved and reproached by pagans, by people who worship the god of the sea, gods of stone. And here was Isaac, the man whom God had said he would be his provision, his provider, the man who was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man whom God would say, in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. I'm sure he was ashamed that a pagan was rebuking and reproving him for letting on his wife was his sister. Do you not realise the shame you could have brought upon our people? Do you not realise the hurt you could have brought upon us if one of the men had a lain with your wife? Do you not realise the depravity? You're meant to be a man of God. You say you're a God. Your God's a God of righteousness, His laws and His statutes, and you keep and obey them. Does your God allow you to do this? You can imagine the condemnation. I'm sure Isaac felt ashamed for his wife. I'm sure Isaac felt ashamed for his two sons. What an example to set to your sons, how to treat your wife. I'm sure Isaac was ashamed. I don't know how Sarah was or Rebecca was feeling about the whole thing. Perhaps she was grieved too. I'm sure she didn't want to do that. I'm sure he put her in an awful situation, didn't he? To pretend that she wasn't his wife. To get on as if in public she was just to be disowned. What a terrible thing. Can you imagine if your husband, man, the Lord Jesus Christ, would ever do that with you? I'll tell you now, life would not be worth living if the Lord ever disowned us. But you see, Isaac was only a type. He was not the only begotten son. He was not the Lord Jesus Christ. He was only a type. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible even says, he's married to the backslider. He'll not forsake you. He'll not disown you. He'll not put you in that circumstance or that situation. Many times we're in circumstances or situations and we disown him. Many times we find ourselves in places where we don't let on we're Christians, that we're not espoused to Christ, that we want to blend in like Egypt. Many times we fail the Lord. Many times we make mistakes and often when it grieves our heart that we would betray the one who loved us and betray the one who died for us, the one who prayed for us in agony in Gethsemane and sweat as it were in great drops of blood. Many times we've disowned the Lord. Many times when we have opportunity to say that we're born again, that we're married to Christ, that we're Christ's own, we fail to speak. Perhaps we were ashamed. Maybe we were feared. Maybe we were feared in case somebody would tease us. Maybe we were feared in case somebody would mock us. But the Bible says of Jesus Christ, he was marred more than any other man. He was mocked and scoffed upon, bearing shame and scoffing round. In my place, condemned he stood. He done it for me. Wasn't shame for his own self, put till an open shame and naked and mocked. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. Can you imagine the temptation? He didn't disown us when he was brought before Pilate and he was blindfolded, or the Sanhedrin council, he was blindfolded and they smote him on the face and they said, prophesy, who smote you? But that the scripture might be fulfilled, as a lamb is brought to the slaughter, And as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The Lord never disowned us. The Lord never put us away from him. The Lord Jesus Christ come to do a reconciling work. And he draws us unto himself. And he's not ashamed of us. And the Bible says that if we are not ashamed to confess him before men, then he'll not be ashamed to confess us before his Father. You know, this was a terrible setback for Isaac. Let us go on and see what he says. What is this that has done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou should have brought guiltiness upon us. Not only was Isaac feeling condemned for his actions in his own house, but he realized that the wrath and the ramifications that he could have brought upon these innocent people. You see, God told Abimelech in Abraham's time, he said, if any of you touch this here man's wife, you shall surely die. Death. Can you imagine being responsible for the death of a fellow man? Can you imagine the guilt you would feel? Can you imagine the hurt you would feel? You would feel ashamed. You would feel like you would never want to lift your head again. This man Isaac might have been responsible for the death of the nation. Done a foolish thing. Done a foolish thing, and he should have known better. And here was a pagan reproving this blessed man of God. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. He realized that this man had a call of God in his life. He realized this man was special. He realized that to go against this man was to go against the Creator. Even though he didn't serve the Lord God of Isaac, but he knew that there was a God with him who was blessing him and serving him. Now, wasn't this a terrible setback? Can you imagine a man with the blessings he had? How that the Lord, he prayed, and Abraham went and got him a wife, and she came and she was barren, and he sought the Lord. And the Lord was entreated by Isaac. The Lord listened to him, and he opened up his wife's womb. A man to whom the Lord appeared to. Well, you know, it's a special thing, I'll tell you now. If the Lord ever appears to you, that's a privileged occasion if the Lord would ever appear to you. The Lord himself appeared to this man. I'm sure he felt awful. I'm sure he felt, how can I go on? My testimony's ruined. I can't go on. That's how I would feel. Is that how you would feel? But there's something tremendous here about Isaac. He had a setback, and I think of what Jack Coe once said to me the time Jack Coe was here. We went up to a meeting, and Jack Coe was in that meeting, and he pointed out to me, and he called me up to the front. You know what he said to me? He said, your setback is your setup for your comeback. Amen. Your setback is your setup for your comeback. Listen, people, we don't serve a God who chides. We don't serve a God who huffs and puffs. We serve a merciful God. And I like something about Isaac here. I think it's tremendous. I think it's really admirable what he does. You might think to yourself in this position, it's hard to get yourself off the ground, but sometimes you've got to lift yourself, as it were, by the bootstraps and get up and go forward. For the Bible says right in the next verse, then Isaac sowed in that land. Can you imagine taking precious seed, expensive seed, and sowing in a land where there's a famine? People were saying, he's mad. What's he doing wasting that good seed? Sure, there's a famine, there's no rain, there's nothing going to grow. But this man, Isaac, in faith, remembered the Lord was his provider. He wasn't depending upon Egypt for substance. He wasn't depending upon the Philistines for substance. He wasn't even depending on the weather for substance. No. Isaac went forward, and he sowed in that land the same year. And this is the very first mention in the Bible of sowing and reaping. The very first mention of love in the Bible is mentioned concerning Isaac. But the Bible says, then Isaac sowed in that land. That takes faith. To sow in a land that's barren. To sow in a land that's not bringing forth any fruit. To sow in a land that's desolate. But you know, Israel done that again. Whenever Israel came back into their homeland, it was a desert. And now it's the breadbasket of the Middle East. You see, God looks after his people. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord still blessed him despite his setback. The Lord still increased him and prospered him despite his failures and his fears and his sin and all that. God still blessed him. Let me tell you this morning, if you have had a setback in your life, get up, press on and go forward, because the Lord wants to bless you. And the Bible says in verse 13, and the man waxed great and went forward. Bible says when it hit the good ground, it brought forth 100-fold. You may think to yourself, I can't testify no more. I can't witness no more. I can't pray no more. I can't sing no more. I can't give out a tract no more. I can't preach no more. You might think all of that. I'm sure Isaac felt like that. But the Bible says he went forward. And he sowed the seed, praise God. And the Lord blessed him. He didn't receive a crop of 50-fold or 60-fold or 70-fold. But for every grain of wheat or every grain of corn he sowed, he received 100 times back. In a time of famine. Do you get that this morning? In the time of famine, God rewarded him 100-fold because he went and sowed. Now can you imagine if Isaac took the approach, I'll just lay down here, I'm finished. I lay down a lot. He would have been finished. But he went and he sowed. And God wants you to get up. And he wants you to go forward and sow. And God will give you the increase, praise God. And God will bless you. And the man waxed great. You know, it wasn't depending on Isaac's mistake. You see, I'm glad this morning that my blessing and my reward isn't because of what I've done. I'm going to read a psalm short. It's my favourite psalm as we close. But you know, the Lord does not reward us according to our iniquities. Thank God for that. The Lord is full of goodness and full of mercy. And all glory and honour and praise and thanksgiving belongs to him. The man waxed great and went forward. Forward as he went. Praise God. Forward as you go. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. Go forward. Go forward. Don't turn back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. There's nothing in Egypt for me. There's nothing in Egypt for you. Don't go back. Go forward. The Bible says, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, and the Lord sustained them all during the time of famine. And great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. You see, the Lord can bless you in the time. Let me say, whenever Egypt was suffering from the 10 plagues, you know that there wasn't any of them plagues touched Goshen, where God's people were. Whenever there was a plague of frogs, the people in Goshen were able to sleep. Whenever there was a plague of blood, the people in Goshen had clean water. The plagues did not come nigh thy dwelling. For whenever he sees the blood, and the death angel passed by, and he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. The Lord will not bring these plagues to your dwellings. If you're going to trust in him, the Lord will take care of you. But don't go down to Egypt. Don't do what they all tell you to do. Go against the flow. Be different. Be like Isaac and go forward with God. Trust in the Lord God. He's your provider. He's the one who's your health. He's the one who's your strength. He's the one who's your joy. Trust in him for all them things. You're not going to get happiness in Egypt. The Lord brings happiness. Oh, I'm glad the Lord has set me free. Praise God. You know, I want to read a scripture in Philippians. We're going to close here shortly, but Philippians chapter 3. And then I want to read that part of that psalm for you just before I close. You know, it's easy sometimes for us to lie down when we think of the things that we have done. When we think of our failings, we sulk. It's hard to get up. We lost all our pride, and that's not a bad thing. But listen to what it says here in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That means that Paul's saying here, I don't say that I have reached the final goal. I don't say that I've reached perfection. I don't say that I'm above a fall or beyond any of that. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Let me say this morning, you must forget what's behind you. You must forget what's behind you, because if you keep looking back, you'll never go forward. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth or forward onto those things which are before. You can't reach that which is before you if you're looking backward. You can only get what's before you if you're going forward. Amen. Forget about your past. Forget about your mistakes. You have sinned. Of course you have. We've all sinned. Every one of us is hell deserving. But God's a God of mercy and a God of grace. He'll take care of you. Amen. Isaac, when he made a mistake, didn't lie down. He went forward and the Lord blessed him. The Lord will bless you if you decide to go forward this morning. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You press into it. You know, when you press, you've got to go against the flow. I'm pressing on. There's a climb. You've got to press on. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. We've got to press on. You know what? Pressing on doesn't come easy. It requires an effort. Didn't come easy for Isaac to go out and sow. He had to break up the fallow ground in the dry land. But the Lord blessed him and prospered him. Forgetting those things which are behind, I look before. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to be pressing for. I want to finish with this psalm, Psalm 103. It's my favourite psalm. And I'm sure these verses have been tremendous encouragement for a lot of believers down through the centuries. Listen to what it says here in verse 8. I want you to think about this. Maybe you have failed the Lord. Maybe there's something bothering you. Maybe you think you can't do it no more. But listen to what God says through his servant David. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. If I was to tell you this morning, I'm the opposite to that. I'm quick to anger. You know, certain buttons you can press in people and you can see they're quick to anger. But God's not like that. God, the Bible says, is slow to anger. And you know what else it says? Plenteous in mercy. That means there's plenty of mercy for you. There's plenty of mercy for me. God's mercy has not run out. God's mercy is as plenteous today in your life as it was here in the life of David. Amen. He will not always chide. That's what I said. You see, we chide over things for a long time perhaps. We sorrow and grieve about their failings. We're disappointed in ourselves. Self-disappointment is an awful disappointment. It's awful disappointment when somebody you love does something against you. It's an awful disappointment. And we can chide over that for a long time. Perhaps we expect God to chide with us. But David says here that he will not always chide. The time of God's wrath will pass over. Nor reward us according to our iniquities. Are you glad for that this morning? The Lord has not rewarded you according to your iniquity. You think whenever Isaac went out and sowed in a land of famine and received 100-fold that the Lord was rewarding him according to his iniquity? Not at all. Not at all. God in his plenteous mercy and grace and goodness, that's what done it. Thank God for his mercy and grace. For us the heaven is high above the earth. So great is his mercy toward you that fear him. That's for you this morning. And towards all them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. The Lord's no record of them. Do you know that if you go to the Lord and you've confessed your sin and your faults and it goes through the blood, the Lord has no recollection of it anymore. Amen. You remembered. But you better not remember it. You better forget about it. Forget about it and go forward. You've sat here long enough. Go forward. Let it go. Forget about it. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed. Hallelujah. Our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I love this verse here. I often pray this here. Lord, you know, we're only dirt. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. You see, the Lord wasn't surprised by Isaac's actions. The Lord wasn't surprised by Abraham's actions. He knew, like father, like son, he would repeat the same mistakes. The Lord knew you were going to make mistakes. The Lord knew you were going to fall. But the Lord remembers you're only dust. Sometimes we like to think we're high and mighty. Sometimes we like to think we are something. But the Lord remembers us for what we are. For God made us from the dust of the ground. We come out of the earth. We're just dust. That's all. Without God's hand in our life, we're just no better than an animal. We're just dirt. We're nothing. But God regenerates them on. Praise God. And God changes them. And he gives them purpose and life. And he gives them something worth living for. Hallelujah. The Lord changes us, praise God, from a wretched, filthy, dirty, rotten, stinking sinner to a child of God, an heir with God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord changes us. The Lord makes us fit for purpose. My message to you this morning is, go forward. Don't lie down. Forget about the things that are behind you. You might have made a mistake, but the Lord can forgive you. The Bible says, for he cleanses us from all sin. His blood cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And you know the Bible says in the Epistle of John, and if we do sin, we have an advocate with God the Father. We have one who speaks for us. We have one who takes up our case. We have one who, in the attorney of law, is our lawyer, is our legal representative. And I'll tell you this, he has never lost a case. Every case he brings before his Father, all he has to do is display the blood. And God was satisfied. And God is still satisfied this day when he sees the blood. God will pass over you, praise God. You can escape the wrath. You can enjoy the blessings of God. Get up and go forward. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to say a chorus, and then I'll hand over to Tommy. Now we'll try and sing a verse of it, then I'll hand over to our pastor Tommy, and then we'll sing another hymn before we leave. praise God. Allow Tommy to come and bring the announcements, praise God, and in closing prayer, and then we'll just sing a hymn as we leave.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. I tell you, I really enjoyed that word this morning. I really believe it was a timely message, a message in season. And I remember the evening that me and Gary went down to hear Jack Coe Jr. and Bellamina. And I remember Brother Jack prophesying that over Brother Gary. And it's wonderful what the Lord does, you know. And it's great to see Brother Gary preaching. Just want to say also, our brother Geordie and his wife are heading off to England. They're moving over there, and I want to just say it's been a blessing to have you come along, and I want to pray for them this morning as they get ready to go. And you know, Brother Gary here used to go to wee meetings Geordie did in his house many years ago, and there's a lot of young people went to them wee meetings, and it's great that Gary's preaching the gospel and singing and everything, and we just thank the Lord so much. You know, you could sow a seed into a wee fella's life or a wee girl's life, and maybe you don't think much about it, but you don't know what that'll produce later on. And that little small seed can grow a very big tree. And we know the Bible speaks of faith as a seed, a small seed, but it grows a very big tree. So I want to pray for Brother Geordie as he goes. And I believe that Brother Gary brought the word of the Lord this morning. Go forward. It's a word for me. It's a word for you. It's a word for everybody. Maybe if you're in your car this morning and you're a backslider, and the Lord has spoke to you today, I want you to come back to the Lord. The Lord's never really left you. He loves you. And His love for you has never changed. It's never diminished. God's love remains the same. Will you come back to the Lord? Will you make a fresh commitment to Christ? I want you all to close your eyes, bow your heads, and those of you that want prayer, stick your arm up out the window or up in your car. We're going to pray that God will touch you. God bless you, sister. Maybe there's a woman here today specifically, and you need a real touch in your body from the Lord. You've been struggling, you've been weak, and you've been weary. Maybe you haven't been so well. Sister, the Lord's going to touch you specifically this morning. And this is the word of the Lord to you. You've been going through a weakness in your body. You've been even faint. And I'm not sure what's caused it, but I'm giving you a word this morning. From this time forth, God's power's going to come on you. And the Lord's going to touch you this morning, sister. And a new strength's going to come upon you. And God's going to do something in your body this morning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let the Lord touch you as we pray. And you pray if you're away from God. Say, Lord, I'm coming back. Lord, I'm coming back. Receive me. Praise God. Father, we thank Thee that Your ear is open to their cry. We thank You, Lord, for Your precious word of truth. We thank You, Lord, that You've told us this morning from Your word that we're to go forward, that You'll never leave us, that You'll never forsake us, though I'm with You always to the end. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that You'll touch every man, every woman, every boy and every girl in these vehicles today. Oh God, I pray specifically for my dear sister right now. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, I rebuke the spirit of weariness and the spirit of fear and the spirit of infirmity. You devil, go back. Yes. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Yes. I ask for the power of God and the touch of God to come upon that dear woman right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, restore the backslidden. Yes. Give us that receive the joy of the Lord. Fill us with Your joy, O God. and we'll praise you for it. Bless your brother Carrie. We'll thank you for how you've moulded him and give him this word to speak even this morning. Father, we give you the praise. We pray you'll ever keep him near thee and near thy side. Bless him. Bless his wife. Bless his children. Oh God, as he sows, may there be 100-fold, 1,000-fold. Pray, God, for Brother Geordie and his precious wife. Father, I ask you to go to England. Oh God, may you be with them in a special way. May the angel of the Lord go before them as they go into the barren ground. May they take this message this morning like Isaac was commissioned and he sowed in the wilderness, but he reaped a great harvest. Father, I pray thy blessing upon them and prosperity before them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pronounce it over them. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Father, help us, we pray, as we endeavor to go forward, Lord, in the midst of all which took place in this world and in the earth in these days. Lord, that thou would save men and women, and that thou would get thyself all the praise and all the glory. Help us to be filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, ever speaking ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart unto the Lord. Bless us now as we bless thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And sister, the Lord bless you. I want you to expect as you drive that car up that road that God's done something for you. Praise God. I want you to believe it. The devil is a liar, but Jesus is the truth. God bless you. Come ahead, brother. Don't forget 4:30 this evening. If you're free, even if you're out for a drive, tune in. And we'll be live again on honor 4:30 this evening, and the Lord willing. God bless you all. Now, next Sunday morning, maybe a brother Ian will bring the word next Sunday morning. Come along and hear brother Ian and pray for brother Ian as he brings the word of God here next Sunday morning. We're going to keep on keeping on. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Praise God. Well, the Lord bless each one as we go. A happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And I trust you to have enjoyed the rest of your day. And thank you for coming along this morning. We're going to just leave by singing the chorus, Psalms 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Lord bless you.